They're here on a shorter furlough. Something big is happening in the midst of it. I can't remember what it is. Brother Derek here. Derek is going to be getting married next month, and so that's exciting. And so they're here for that. Of course, they've had opportunity to be able to go to some churches here and there. I'm so happy. Just in this last few days, it worked out where we touch base. Yes, I want you to come. I want you to go ahead and have the day, Brother Wells, to teach and to preach. And so that's how that all took place. That's why even a week ago I didn't announce this, because we didn't have this thing nailed down. So that's what's going to take place here this morning and throughout the day. So again, I'm so grateful to have them here. Get to know them. I hope that you'll be here throughout the whole day. I know you'll receive a blessing. Let's see, one other thing that I wanted to mention, and it's just kind of, well, it'll come back to me and I'll bring it out in the 11 o'clock service, but it's just, again, so great to have them here. Brother, I'm going to go ahead and turn things over to you, and are you ready to go? Yeah, because normally what we do is we do some prayer requests at this time, so I'm going to forego those, and we'll just pick up on that next week again. We'll have our prayer requests and have our prayer time, but I'm going to turn things over to him at this point, and this is a good opportunity for you to introduce your family, tell us about what's going on, however you want to. You've got the whole day, brother, so you come on up. I'll let you introduce all your family. Good to see you, brother. Love you.
What time do we need to be done with Sunday school?
10:45.
We'll just plow right straight through the break.
True, we can do that. Well.
All right. Well, I am super happy to be here. We were talking, and I think the last time I was here would have been for the missions conference in 2019, and then I was here for a Sunday. Mother's Day, that's right. And so that's been a few years, so that's it's a blessing to be with y'all. And like Pastor Garcia said, we've just been back in the country, I believe 4 weeks. We got here at the end of October, and so we're trying to figure out how we can get to a few churches. And, of course, we had to call Brother Garcia because the Garcias are some of our favorite people. And I'm sure they're your favorite people, too. We enjoy the Garcias, and we had some good fellowship last night. And so it's a privilege to be here. Thank you so much for your prayers over this last year. We've had a little bit of a rough year, and for my illnesses and the accidents and all those things. I know you guys have been praying about that. Thank you so much for that. It's the prayers of the saints that that keep us going. And so we're very appreciative of that. Now, I do want to introduce my family because we've got a new addition to you, not a new addition to us. And, of course, we're missing our daughter, Amber, who's been married now for 3 years. She would have been with us in 2019, but she's married and serving God with her husband down in the Treasure Valley at our church down there. And so we've got, of course, my wife, Kirsten. If you can stand up and say hello to everybody. And so our next oldest, of course, my daughter's the oldest, but our next oldest is Trevor. Trevor's with us still. If you come back tonight, you'll see some of what he's doing there in New Guinea. All of the kids are with us still in New Guinea and serving God there. Trevor runs the print shop for us and does a huge amount of work, not just in the print shop and a lot of other things as well, but that's kind of his main work. And then we've got Derek, and Derek's going to be a trader, and he's leaving us to get married, but that's okay. That's good, because we'll get him and his wife later. So we'll take that addition, at least for a little while. But Derek is... his main work, he works in the school, and he's got a little church plant that we kind of started, and he's been taking care of that and getting that going and started, I think, for 3 years now. He's been working with that little church plant, and good things coming up from that. We'll talk about that a little bit tonight. And he's getting married next month on the 14th to a lovely young lady, and they're actually going to come on a missions trip later on next year, and we'll see what happens from there. They might be calling you. They might be calling you. And so we were at a church years ago in 2008. We were at a church in the back east somewhere, and a church that had supported my dad for many years, and they supported my brother Brad when he went to the mission field. And when we were on deputation, we came, and he's looking at me from up here, and he said, "How many of those Wellses are you guys? How many of you are we going to have to support?" I said, "Well, there's a few more coming." He's like, "All right, well." So we got a few more coming. So that's what Derek does. Of course, he works in the school, like I said, and preaching and teaching. And he'll continue that. And then we've got Connor. Connor is, his main thing that he does is he keeps all of our vehicles running. We've got three buses and three Land Cruisers, depending on if you count ones that are crashed and being rebuilt or not. It depends on how you keep all that together. But he keeps all those vehicles running. He teaches, he preaches, leads songs in our different churches. And so all three of those guys do a huge amount of work in the ministry, which if you come tonight, like I said, you'll see them busy in that work. And then we have Miranda. Now, Miranda, you've not met Miranda. We adopted Miranda when she was first born in 2008, but because of legalities, we were never able to bring her. And so, of course, none of you have been able to meet her, but we are finally able to get her adoption in New Guinea, all that paperwork and all that settled just a few days before we traveled. And so she was able to travel with us this time. And so we're happy that she's here and that you can meet her as well. So, and she's busy in school and helping mom. So we'll see what ministry God gives her later on down the road. All right. Well, we'll talk more about all those things tonight. I'm sure I will tell you some stories and some stuff. But this morning, let's go to Romans chapter 12. I want to talk to you about the family today. Brother Garcia asked me what I was going to be preaching, and I had a few things I had that I kind of wanted to preach on, but God just kind of clarified that to me this morning about 5:30 or something this morning, and we're just going to preach all the way through, and on the family and the ministry and missions. And you say, well, the family, the ministry and missions, what? How does all that work together? Well, that's what we're going to preach about. So I hope that you'll come tonight as well, and I hope that this will ring true as it is from the Word of God. Romans chapter 12, and before we read this, let's go ahead and pray, and we'll launch into this. Father in heaven, Lord, thank you so much for your goodness to us. Father, thank you for looking after us. Thank you for giving us your word. Father, thank you for sending your son to die on the cross. Father, we just thank you for this church and these people. And Father, we pray as we look at your word this morning that it would be challenging and it would be a blessing. And Father, that we would get something from your word that would affect us and that would change us for the future. And we just thank you now. In your name we pray. Amen. All right, Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12 is a verse that I'm sure most of us, if not all of us, have memorized. Romans chapter 12, verse number 1. We're going to read this, Romans 12, verse 1 and verse 2. It says, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." So this morning, as we get started, and as we look at ministry, and as we look at the family, and we look at how we're going to fulfill the Great Commission. All right, I got to come down here. You guys are so far away. Is that all right? Brother Garcia, is that, I mean, I can come out here? We're, all right, good. Will I scare you if I come out here? All right, good. I'm kind of a scary guy sometimes. At least that's what I'm told. So in ministry and in missions, getting the gospel around the world, that the Great Commission, right? God has given us as Christians, God has given us as a church, the goal or the command to get the gospel around the world. Now that's not a small task. That's not a task that I believe as Christians we should take lightly, or as the church we should take lightly. When you read through the Word of God and as you see what God's doing and how God works with His people and all through the New Testament, when you look at all that, the goal of all of that is to get the gospel around the world. You know, some people would say, well, you know, as Christians, our number one goal is to please God. Yes. So how do we please God? By obeying Him. And what did He tell us to do? To get the gospel around the world. So you can't get away from it. You cannot get away from it. And in today's society, now we just came through the election cycle. That was fun to watch. We were here in time for that, and so I enjoyed watching all that and got to go throw my vote and all that. But you know what? President-elect Trump is not going to get the gospel around the world.
That's right.
Yeah. Right? Now, he may help create an environment that's easier for us to do that job. Maybe. We'll see. We'll see. Sometimes as Christians, if you look at history, we do better under persecution. You know, if we read history, we do our job better under persecution than we do under freedom. But none of us want persecution, including me, so we'll ignore that. But President Trump's not going to be able to get the gospel around the world, nor should he. That's not his job, right? That's our job. That's our job as Christians. That's our job as the church. That's your job at Cornerstone Baptist Church. That's your job to get the gospel around the world. And I was so thankful to get that report from Brother Garcia of how you've increased your missions giving and in supporting of missions. And that's been going forward. That's a great report. That's good. You're moving in the right direction. But as Christians, we're going to have to look at this in the right mentality. And what I want to talk to you about for the next few minutes in here is this word that we see here, this idea and this concept that we see in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. And that's the idea of submission. Of submission. Do you see submission in Romans 12, 1 and 2?
Yeah.
That is all about submission. Now, as Bible believers, as Republicans, I assume, or independents, or Tea Party people, or whatever we are, you know. Conservatives, there we go. Submission is not really what we like to talk about. But you know, as Christians, if we're going to be of any value to the work of God, we're going to have to learn submission. We're going to have to learn it. Not just, well, in many ways. So I don't want to get too far ahead of myself. So let's look at this. Let's just break down this verse real quick, and we'll try to get through this. Submission is the key here. What we see here in Romans chapter 12, we see that you present your bodies what a living sacrifice. That is something that's done voluntarily. That's not somebody else submitting you. That is you submitting yourself. You are presenting yourself to God, a living sacrifice. A living sacrifice means that you still have, you're alive. You're not dead. You're not dead. And folks, because we're not dead, we have value to God. When I'm in the grave, I'm not of much value to God. Now, hopefully, he doesn't have to put me in the grave because of my value. but God is not done with us. He wants to use us, but he wants us to be submitted to him and to what he wants. And he wants to form, and he wants to mold our desires to be in line with his desires. And what that's going to take is that's going to take us being willing to present ourselves to him. And you say, well, Brother Chad, we're here on Sunday morning for Sunday school. We fit this category. Probably. And no doubt all of us in some areas. But it needs to be in all areas. We can't just put half of our body on the altar of sacrifice. It doesn't work that way. You can't just put partial and leave the other part hanging off. It's not the way it works. Present yourself a living sacrifice. It's submission. It's something that you do. Submission is the key. And then the next part, it says, renewing of your mind. The renewing of your mind. That means that whatever was in there before is wrong.
Yeah.
All right, so let's be really black and white here. Before we're saved, we're wrong. Would you all agree with that?
Yeah.
Here, let's do something that we can agree with, right? Democrats are wrong. Can we all agree with that? Let's, amen. Come on, let's say amen there. Amen. And we'll just put it all together as conservatism is right. Amen. Okay. So if you're lost here today, you're wrong. You know, our society today, we don't like to say those kinds of things. But it's true. You're wrong. And when you get saved, God wants you to renew your mind. That means take the stuff that's in there out and put some new stuff in there. Because all those mentalities, all those things, those pursuits, those ways of doing things, those paradigms that we have, they're wrong. Then today in our society and in Christianity, we've come to this place where we just want to make everybody happy, and we don't want to offend anybody, and so we just all kind of, we try to just, well, there's good things about these people too. Well, yes, but they're wrong. It's okay. Because, right, if you're witnessing to somebody, and you're trying to give them the gospel, and you're giving them the gospel, and you say, do you need Christ as your Savior? And if they say, no, I'm not lost. How do you go from there? They have to become lost before they can get saved. And if they don't believe they're lost, what good's the gospel? It's of no value to them. So as Christians, we have to realize that when we get saved, what we believe before is wrong. And that way we can get the right thing, and that's not going to come from anywhere else but the Bible. We're Bible believers, right? A pastor, DeMichael, said it the other day, I think in the service, but he was talking, and I use it, I copy him all the time, and I love it. People ask me a question, and I say, well, what does the Bible say? And they're like, huh? And I can hear him. They were, I don't care what the Bible says. I asked you, what do you think? I don't have a thought on the matter. Because I'm a Christian, I don't get that luxury. What does the Bible say? Is that true? And so in this idea of submission and ministry and the family and how we're going to get the gospel around the world, we're going to have to figure out that the Bible's right and we are wrong. I love that. I'm wrong. Unless I'm lined up with the Bible, then I get to be right. the renewing of your mind. That's the door in which God's going to use it. And as your mind renews, then the next part there says what? Transformed. We become a new creature in our conservatism. Is that what we become a new creature in? A new creature where? In Christ. A new creature in Christ. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are what? Become new. That means everything from before is wrong and obsolete. And it's something new. This is not an upgrade. This is not when, your computer, you go from whatever, Windows 11 to Windows 12, or this is not an upgrade. Okay, salvation is not an upgrade to your life. It's new. It's totally different. It's not something you just kind of tack on as an extra. We can have a better life when we become Christians. No, that's the prosperity gospel. Those people are wrong. All things are become new, transformed from the inside out. As Christians, when we submit to God in relation to Romans 12, we become new creatures in Christ. And we are transformed. We are different. Now that's what the world should look at us and say, that guy's different.
Yeah, that's right.
And not just because you didn't comb your hair that day. Right? You should be different. I should be different. People should be able to tell us apart. And then, what's the benefit of all that? Then at the end of verse 2, what does it say? And we get to see and acceptable and perfect will of God. I don't know about you, but I want God's perfect will for my life. I want, when I stand before God, I want him to say, well done. Well done. Thou good and faithful servant. I want to be a good and faithful servant. And if I'm going to be a good and faithful servant, then I'm going to have to submit.
Right.
And that means I'm going to have to throw all the ideologies of the world out the window. Now,
yeah.
We can all say amen to that, right?
Right?
It's a trap. I'm just telling you right now, it's a trap. Because when we say amen, I'm going to start pointing at some things, and you're not going to like it. Because our flesh wants to hold on to some of that stuff. And as we travel down this road of submission to the will of God and submission to God, there's some ideas that as Christians we have begun to hold on to and espouse and think there's nothing wrong with this. And on the surface, that's true. But it pulls our ideology to the side. And it pulls us to the old ways of the flesh. And it makes it so we don't become renewed. And it makes it so we cannot perform the perfect will of God. You see, you can take a huge water tank. We have a 2,000-gallon water tank in New Guinea that we collect rain off the roof. And that water is delicious and fresh and wonderful. Because we live in the jungle, so we don't have pollution, and we don't have that. So we have beautiful rainwater. But you know, if someone takes a dead rat and throws it right on top of the screen where all the water runs in, and all the water coming into the tank run over top of a dead rat, how is that water inside the tank? Delicious. Right? No. Now, you know what? The reality of it, you probably wouldn't taste the difference. That's the reality of it. But when you're sick for 3 weeks in a row and everybody's sick for weeks on end and nobody can tell why everybody's sick, and you go find a dead, half-rotted rat at the spout of your water tank, you figure out that maybe that wasn't the best place for that. We couldn't taste it, but it sure affected us. And that's what I'm talking about. You see, we take on these things of the world, and they don't appear to have a, they on the surface, they don't appear to change anything. but it takes us from what we should be doing. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah,
does that make sense? All right. So that's where we're going. So God gave us three institutions. So what we're looking for is we're looking for a complete paradigm shift. So paradigm is the basic assumption within a theory. Okay, our assumption as Christians, right? The general population of Christians is, unfortunately, Christianity is just something that we add on to our life that makes us better people. Right? You talk to the world out there, and in general, they're going to say, you know what? Christians are generally better people. That's what they're going to say. They tend to be more honest. They tend to be good people. You know, Christians tend not to be bank robbers and murderers. It's just a trend, okay? It's not perfect. But that's the paradigm of the world. I don't want to just be a better person. I don't want to just be a better bank teller. Or I don't want to just be a better construction worker. I don't want to be a better salesman. What I want to be is I want to be God, in God's perfect will. Now that may mean I'm a better bank teller. But that's not the assumption. The assumption is I want to be in God's perfect will. That's what I want to be. And I think as a Christian, that's where you should want to be. So God gave us the family. Colossians 3, we don't have time to go there, but Colossians 3, the three institutions that God gives us, he gave us the family. God gave us government, and God gave us the church. And when you examine those three institutions that God has given us, just look at them in today, in our church here today. Our families are messed up. Our churches are messed up. Well, in the government, it might be a little better in a few weeks, but it's messed up too. Would you agree with that? Those three institutions are not working at their full and right capacity. And I dare submit to you today, it's because of a lack of submission. It's a lack of submission. Look at James chapter 4. James chapter 4, verses 1 through 7. We're not going to read all that, but in verse 7 it says, submit yourselves therefore to God. James chapter 4, verses 1 through 7. Verse number 7, submit yourselves therefore to God, or be double-minded. And that's what we have. We got a lot of Christians that are double-minded. You're trying to play being a good person at work and in your family, and then you're trying to play being a Christian. And you can't use the mentality of the world in Christianity, and Christianity doesn't work in the world. The two are too different. Because if you're in the world, if you're lost here today, or those that are lost, they look at us as Christians, right? Bible believers, missions giving, soul winning, witnessing, active fanatics, right? That's what a lot of us are. We're kind of fanatics. They look at us and they think, well, those are great, balanced people. Is that what they say? No, they look at it and say, well, they might be good people, but you know what? They're kind of weird. And what we do doesn't make sense to them. We have some relatives on my wife's side that are not, they're not saved, and they look at what we do in New Guinea, and it doesn't make sense to them. The fellow asked me a few years ago, he said, Chad, haven't you been there long enough? Haven't you given enough? And I thought, it almost seems like he thinks I'm paying penance or something. Like I've got some debt to be paid. And I'm certainly by then I've done enough. I think we'd been there 10 or 15 years by that point, or 12 years. Certainly thinks I've done enough. Maybe to appease my conscience. right? And I said, you can't pay a debt of the blood of Jesus. How do I pay that off? And it didn't register to him. That doesn't make sense. You know what? Christianity doesn't make sense to the world. Now, religion makes sense to the world, but that's not what we are. We're Christians. This isn't religion. There's a difference between religion and Christianity. And we're Christians, and it doesn't make sense to the world. But you know what else is true? We should look at the world and say, that doesn't make sense. And that's where the problem is. We try to institute too many paradigms that the world has into our Christianity under the guise or under the smokescreen or under the assumption that there's nothing wrong with this. There's nothing wrong with this. And there is. There is something wrong. You say, well, what are you talking about? We're getting to it. but I feel I need to get you on board, because when I attack these things, or when the Bible attacks these things, I need you to understand that it's true first. Because once we start pointing these things out and you get mad at me, I'm not going to be able to convince you. So I've got to get you convinced ahead of time. See, I'm putting my plan right out in front of you. So submission, Romans chapter 13, verse number 1. Submission is ordained of God. This thing of submission, this is what God wants. God has given this thing to us as what we need. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. Okay? For there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Okay, so of course we're talking about government there, and you can read the context there. But essentially, what Paul's trying to show us is that we're supposed to be submitted, and God wants us to be submitted. There's people that we should be submitted to. As a church, you should be submitted to your pastor. He cares for your soul. Now, he doesn't save you. And he's not going to put a good word in for God for your salvation. But God has put him here for you to be in submission to. Amen. That is a biblical authority. Now, does that mean you should serve him? You know, maybe. should we come and kneel down and, okay, Pastor Garcia, what can I do for you today? No. But under the biblical authority that he has in this church, absolutely. Pastor, I'm thinking about doing this. What do you think? And you know what he's going to do? He's going to say, well, the Bible says that's not a good idea because of this, this, and this. Well, I prayed about it, and I think it's okay. You ever hear that kind of thing? Maybe a few times. See, I don't even know because he didn't tell me. Guys do that all the time in my office. Oh, Chad, I prayed. Me betin pinis na migat belisi. I prayed about it, and I feel comfortable doing this. Like, I don't know who you're praying to, and I don't know how you feel comfortable, but that's sin. Submit to the authority that God's given you. Submitting to authority is not something that, as red-blooded Americans, we like to think about. As Idahoans, we don't like that. But it's something that God ordained. Look at Proverbs chapter 13. We'll get into some nitty-gritty here. And you say, Brother Chad, how are you going to finish this? I'm not. We're going to keep talking about it in the next service. I figure you probably won't leave in the middle. Maybe you will. I don't know. All right, Proverbs chapter 13. Look at verse number 10. Proverbs chapter 13. Verse number 10. Only by what? Pride. Only by pride cometh contention. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 10. But with the well-advised is wisdom. Only by pride. You see, when you submit, it stops pride And if your pride gets kicked out of your life, you know, the contention will go down. Contention goes down. Pride is one of those things that, folks, there's no space for pride in the Christian life. And if you think about it, it doesn't even make any sense to have pride in the Christian life. We are new creatures in Christ. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Because of what? The blood of Jesus Christ. We are what we are today because of Him. What have we done? Nothing. We have done nothing. We have done nothing to contribute to how our lives have changed for Him. It's Him that has changed us. We should have no pride in who we are today. Because we are only what we are because of Christ. Because of the level of which you're willing to submit to God. Our Christian growth is directly tied to your submission to God. When I hear people talk about, well, you know, I'm just not getting fed at that church. Or, you know what, I just don't see in my Bible, I'm just not getting anything out of that anymore. And you know, they start complaining about church and God and their Bible. 100% they are not submitted to nobody. They're not submitted to their pastor. They're not submitted to the Bible. They're not submitted to God. Why? Because when you submit, you knock your pride out, and then God can start working. And when you're full of pride, God can't work. And your growth as a Christian stops. And only because you're not willing to quit or whatever, you still come. But you haven't grown an ounce because you're not submitted to God. You're not submitted to what the Word of God says. So that's we need to be submitted to get rid of our pride. There's no other way to get rid of it. When you submit to someone else's authority, so Brother Garcia knows me way too well. And that pride thing, man, it can just get in the way so quickly. When you let pride get in the way, God just pulls his hands back and says, "All right, son, go ahead. Go ahead." It doesn't work. I can tell you it doesn't work. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 16. I don't want to out all my sins. Brother Garcia can tell you all about them later when I'm gone. First Corinthians chapter 16. We'll just go through these few things and then we'll try to get done here on time. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Here's the Apostle Paul. He's talking about submission. The Apostle Paul, undoubtedly, our greatest example for a Christian that we have in the Word of God. Certainly one of the great heroes of Christianity. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, look at verse number 7. It says, this is the Apostle Paul kind of finishing up his letter here. He's kind of tying things up. It's just a little bit of a byline almost, but it shows his mentality, I believe. "For I will not see you now by the way, but I trust to tarry a while with you, if the Lord permit." So here's Paul. He's making some plans. He's doing some organizing. He's trying to set a schedule. But at the end, he says, "But you know what? It's all dependent on God. If the Lord permits us to do this, this is what we're going to do." And you see, when you're submitted to God, it's not about what you want to do. It's about what God wants you to do. And it's not about whether or not you want to live here or live there or be in this ministry or be in that ministry. Or it's not about it's not about any of that. It's not about you. As a Christian, folks, listen, the Christian life is not about you. What you get and what you don't get doesn't matter. The only thing that matters in our Christian life is if we're doing what God wants us to do. Whether that's, if you read the life of Paul and study Paul, whether that's being shipwrecked or whipped or beaten or thrown out of the city, it doesn't matter. Paul's like, I'm here to help the Christians. I'm here to help the saints. I'm here to carry the load of the churches. And this is what we're going to do if the Lord lets us. And that should be our mentality. That should be our level of submission. God, I want to do exactly what you want. And how much money I make and how what kind of car I drive and what kind of house I have. And all of that doesn't matter. And that's easy to say. But do you practice that, Christian, in your life? Are you submitted to the point where you say, God, whatever you want? You see, Paul here, he's like, here's the plans, but it's up to God. Whether we get there, whether we spend time with you, whether it's just up to God. And even on the little things, Paul was like, hey, it's up to God. You know, we hide behind that sometimes. You know, you say, oh, brother, we'll see it tonight for church. Lord willing. Well, the Lord is willing if you just get up from your nap and get here. Right? We hide behind that kind of phraseology, but we don't live our lives that way. We need to live our lives in submission to God and know that he says, forsake not the assembling of ourselves together. So that means you're supposed to get there. When you submit, it stops pride. When you submit, it asks permission. Look at Luke 22. This is Christ. Luke chapter 22. You say, I thought you were going to talk about the family. Yeah, we are. You just don't know it yet. Luke chapter 22. Look at verse number 42. Jesus talking, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Here's Jesus Christ in an earthly body submitting himself to God the Father. Not my will, but thine. Are you maybe a little bit less than Jesus Christ? That's a real question. Are you less than Jesus Christ? Yes. The answer is yes. Yes, we are less. If Jesus had to submit to the will of the Father, who are we? Who are we? We must submit. How did it turn out for Jesus? He did save the world, but he had to die first. He had to die first. That kind of blows a big hole in the side of the prosperity gospel ship. When I submit to God, I may suffer and be persecuted and be killed. But if that's what God wants for my life, you know, and I'm saying this as a guy that just came out of almost dying. You know, I was laying there in bed for the first 6 weeks. And I was mostly unconscious, so I really wasn't thinking. But then when I started coming out of that, I thought, you know, God, is this it for me? Am I done? Am I okay with that? And I was complaining to God, God, I've got work to do. You know, Jesus only had a 3-year ministry, and then he died. Are we submitted to God's authority? Are we submitted to his plan? Or is it your plan? Is it your career? Is it your money? Is it your house? Is it your car? Or is it God's? Romans 10, we'll be done. Amen. This is good. Romans chapter 10, look at verse number 1. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Paul's desire. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. You see, the Jews were, Israel was following the law and they're following traditions and they had a zeal about them, but they would not submit to the knowledge that Christ had died for their sins according to the scriptures. They weren't willing to submit to that. They wanted to hold on to their traditions. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Man, if we can get a hold of that. Listen, I don't think there's any of us here trusting in our works to get to heaven. But you know what? We are trusting in tradition to make us better Christians. And traditions do not help us become better Christians. How we as independent Baptists sing songs and come to church and all the things that's wrapped up in the religion is not going to help you. But submission to God. Submission to His authority. Submission to the Word of God. Otherwise, we're just playing along. We're just playing along, folks. And when we're playing along, our families are going to look like we're playing along. And when our families look like we're playing along, our churches are going to look like they're playing along. And when our churches look like that, then the gospel doesn't get out. Because we're not submitted. We don't see the long game. Until we figure out that submission to the Word of God, submission to our pastor, we'll never be able to figure out our marriage and raising kids, and we'll never be able to figure out the thing of the church, and we'll never get to getting the gospel. And I say that looking at the missionary letters, but I can tell you that's not enough. You say, we're doing good. Yes. That's not enough. You say, well, how much is enough? When the job's done the right way. Amen. That's when it's enough. And until then, we need to be submitted. We'll talk a little bit about that in a minute. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, help us to understand this thing of submission. Father, help us to understand that it's not an option in our Christian life. And as we continue to look at your word, that we would be able to apply it. In your name we pray. Amen.